Fly to Others, by Soft But Gremlin, and read by Lattice Frames. Summary. Perhaps Obi-Wan wouldn't get into these sort of situations if he'd actually stay with his troopers. By now, Obi-Wan thought, he should know to expect a Sith on every mission. At this point in his life, he really should just assume that all Sith specifically have it out for him. He blocked the red lightsaber swinging towards his head, then made a grunt of pain as Ventress slammed her foot into his gut. The kick was clearly force-assisted, and he was thrown backwards. He expected to hit a wall. Instead, glass shattered, and there was a brief moment of panic when he tumbled backwards into open air. Blindly, he thrust a hand out, hoping for something to hold on to. The Force was with him, because he managed to grab a piece of metal jutting out from the building. It was beautifully engraved, some distracted part of his mind saw, and it probably served some sort of decorative function, if not a practical function. The Force wasn't with him that much, though, because the metal decoration wrenched from his velocity. Two of the bolts that had been holding it pulled out from the wall. The other two looked as if any sudden movement would induce them to do the same. Carefully, he brought his other hand up to hold on to the decoration. He'd lost his lightsaber. Had he dropped it before or after he'd hit the window? The metal groaned. He looked down, hoping for something convenient to drop onto. Naturally, there was nothing between him and the ground. None of the windows of this fancy government building opened, so there were no verandas, no helpfully overlarge windowsills. And on this side of the building, there weren't even any fire ladders. He spotted small dots of white and gold below, and realized that Cody's team was directly under him. They must have caught up while he was fighting Ventress. He could drop down to them, regroup and plan. No, that would lead Ventress directly to them. He wouldn't put them in danger if he could help it, or at least no more danger than they were already in. He hoped none of them had been hurt by the falling glass. His mind raced as he tried to determine if he would be able to jump back up to the window he'd fallen from. Then from above him, from where he'd fallen, he saw a red warrior with golden eyes, gleefully sending sparks raining down on him, a look of triumph in his eyes as Qui-Gon lay dying just out of reach. Obi-Wan shook his head, trying to stay in the present, and the metal decoration squealed as it bent a little farther from the wall. Ventress smirked down at him as he struggled. "It's been such fun, my dear Obi-Wan. But I'm afraid I have to cut this encounter short," she said. "Until next time. Hang in there." She wiggled her fingers in a little goodbye motion. And then the bolts wrenched free, and he was falling. Cody was going to kill his Jedi when he found him. 10 years on Kamino wasted because his Dekut of a Jedi preferred to go gallivanting off on his own into danger, rather than stay with the people who had literally been engineered to take care of him. Together, the clones and Jedi were a nigh unstoppable force. They could take on armies. Alone? Well, he'd had Skywalker for a Jedi commander for the first 4 months of the war. He knew what happened when a Jedi fought a Sith alone. He, Waxer, Boyle, and Suture were now walking carefully through the abandoned city, trying to find their general. They walked in a diamond formation, carefully keeping an eye in every direction so that the Seps wouldn't catch them off guard. Waxer was on point, as scout lieutenant. Boyle had the rear covered, as their other scout. And Cody and Suture were on either side, keeping an eye on building entrances, windows, and alleyways. Places that could easily hide enemies if you weren't paying attention. A metal rod dropped inches in front of Cody's face, and bounced up once before rolling to his foot. Like an idiot, he looked down instead of up, tracking the movement. And then he realized it wasn't a metal rod. It was a lightsaber. He grabbed the thing, and looked up from whence it came, clipping it to his belt automatically. Shards of glass rained down on his helmet, but they bounced harmlessly off the plastoid armor. He brushed off the remaining bits, lest they work their way under his armor and into his blacks, and looked up, only to see his general hanging precariously from what looked like a piece of gutter, Ventress gloating above him. "Sir," Boyle said, blaster already pointed upwards. I see it, Cody replied. The problem was, there wasn't anything they could do about it. And then the gutter broke, and Cody's heart stopped as his Jedi fell. He heard blaster shots, but they were distant. Everything seemed to be happening in slow motion, and the only thing he could focus on was Obi-Wan falling from a height that would kill a normal person. He reached out his arms as though that would do anything. And somehow, he caught him. Obi-Wan clung to him, gasping, and for a moment, Cody thought he saw genuine terror in his eyes. Then Obi-Wan blinked blankly a couple of times, and settled into a sheepish grin. "Hello there," he said. "Nice of you to drop in, General," Cody said. "Behind him," Boyle snorted. "Yes, well..." Obi-Wan was cut off as a Separatist ship buzzed low over them. Cody held tight to the General as they ducked. Obi-Wan clung tighter around his neck. Waxer, Boyle, and Suture all fired at the ship immediately, though the blasters did very little against the hull. Within moments, it was out of sight. "Scout?" Cody asked. "Or do you think it'll be back at any moment with reinforcements?" "Not this time, I don't think," Obi-Wan said thoughtfully. "Ventress seemed in a terrible hurry to leave." "That doesn't seem right," Cody muttered, frowning in the direction of the ship. "Since Kristoff says she's been out for Jedi blood, what would make her turn away from that now?"
"I'm sure we'll find out soon," Obi-Wan said. "Now, if you don't mind, Commander, can you put me down? I assure you that my legs are in perfect working condition."
"Right away, sir. Sorry, sir," Cody said, hurriedly but carefully setting the General on his feet.
He was so glad that he was wearing his bucket. Then, seeing the gentle amusement in Obi-Wan's eyes, he remembered that a Jedi didn't need to see your face to know how you were feeling. And seeing the way Waxer and Boyle's shoulders were shaking under their armor, he had a feeling he was never going to hear the end of this. At least Suture was being reasonable. He wasn't even paying attention to the embarrassing scene, instead fiddling with the HUD control pad on his vambrace. Something had probably gotten messed up by the falling glass. Always on task, that Suture. Cody decided that the only ghosts he liked were the medics. Then he got a notification on his HUD. It was a small data packet from Suture. He tapped a button on his own vambrace to open the packet. It was a picture of him holding Obi-Wan in his arms. Obi-Wan was looking at him with a soft smile, and the two of them together looked like a poster for some cheesy hollow romance. Suture had even somehow added little hearts onto the picture. Cody immediately decided that medics were no longer among the ghosts he liked. And unfortunately, while technically being Suture's superior officer, there was nothing Cody would risk doing to get back at him. Only an absolute decoot would risk the wrath of a medic.
"Sir, there's blood all over the back of your tunics. I think we need to assess how bad your injuries are before we risk going any further."
"Don't worry about me, Suture. I'll be fine until we get back to the ship."
"Sir, as your chief medical officer..."
Cody sighed. He had been decanted to deal with many things, but this, he was pretty sure, this was not one of them.
"General," he said.
"Yes, Cody."
Obi-Wan had an air of suspicion about him, clearly wondering if Cody was going to side with Suture. Instead, Cody held out his lightsaber.
"Ah," Obi-Wan said sheepishly, gingerly taking the offered weapon. "Thank you, Cody."
"You know," Cody said,
and he smirked a bit when Obi-Wan's head whipped up and his eyes narrowed.
"I've heard the Jedi have this saying."
"Oh?"
Obi-Wan asked dryly. "Your lightsaber is your life," Cody recited. "You should try and take better care of it."
"The lightsaber or the life?" Boyle quipped.
"Both," Cody said. Cody could see Suture's triumph in the way he stalked up behind Obi-Wan.
"The commander is absolutely right," he said. "I must insist that we take a look at your injuries, sir."
Obi-Wan shot Cody a look of absolute betrayal,
but sighed and said, "Fine, but only because the longer we spend out here arguing, the more danger we're likely to be in."
"No, you'd say sense, sir." Cody huffed a small laugh, quiet enough to not be picked up by his vocoder. Boyle and Waxer didn't even hide their chuckles. Obi-Wan glared at the lot of them.
The end. This was part 4 of A Lightsaber and a Love Story. If you enjoyed the story, you can leave feedback for the author at archiveofourown.org/works/28897743. And if you enjoyed my reading, you can find me at archiveofourown.org/users/lattice_frames.